In other news.
To determine why and how the towers collapsed.
Kind of scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
We walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. We continue to follow up on gang stalking cases, and in this show, we're going to get an in-depth look at a severe case involving psychotronic weapons, including voice-to-skull auditory targeting. You may recall the New York Times article titled, Update, Microwave Weapons Are Prime Suspect in Ills of U.S. Embassy Workers. The reporter described sonic intrusions used on diplomats that could transmit loud booms and words. In recent news, the complaints from the covert harassment and torture program has increased to the point now that the FBI assigned an agent to investigate claims in California. People reaching out to others for help to stop voice-to-skull and microwave attacks are usually treated with disdain by friends, colleagues, law enforcement, and mental health specialists when describing their situation. Our guest is Katie Paterza, and she had a normal life up until she began to work in the auto industry. That's when organized stalking crept into her life. What you're about to hear in this interview can be upsetting. Today, what she describes as an incessant psychotronic attack on her body and a stream of synthetic voices continually transmitting to her keep her daily life from being anything but normal. Katie, welcome to Another News.
Hello. How are you? Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I appreciate you having the courage to do this interview. And on the show, we've examined several organized stalking cases. And I say this to let you know that the listeners are familiar with this topic and associated strangeness. And if you would, could you please tell listeners about yourself and describe your life when you were not experiencing harassment and attacks to then what you suspect set things off?
Okay. Before this organized gang stalking happened, I was a very happy-go-lucky, carefree, smart, intelligent woman. I was happily married. I was close to my family and friends. I did not struggle with things. Pretty much anything I ever wanted to do, I did. I've always been very outgoing. I love people. It's very important that I work with people. And my degree is in communications, radio, television, and film with the emphasis. I've always been in the public eye. I've always liked a challenge. Sales is where I really accelerate. Public relations is where I really accelerate. Writing, if someone was in need or couldn't speak up for themselves, I was always the one to help them. One of my former close friends always called me a soul warrior. I was always at the right place at the right time to defend someone and get what they needed taken care of. And same with animals. If there's ever an animal in need anywhere, I'm always there to protect them. When my former husband and I returned back to Texas in 2006, we did not have any intention of coming back. My mother wasn't doing well. She had real aggressive cancer and thought that we should come back. When we got back, we put my husband through immigration. Here we go. They're going to do everything they can to ruin this interview. So we put him through immigration, and I started working in the auto industry because I needed to buy a car, and I excelled at it very quickly. Became top in sales. Started with Toyota, went to Mercedes, went to Infiniti, went to Texas Direct Auto. I helped them grow every business that I went into, every dealership I went into. We really excelled. I became what was called an equity manager, and I became number one in the nation. When my husband and I got divorced, I moved to Houston. That's where all the problems became. It actually started before. That's when trouble with my husband and I, that's where the gang stalking started. I did not realize at the time. It's where they started doing the dousing, where they get you bored. They start what they say, picking and pruning, and start isolating you from your family and friends, and it started there. And the whole purpose was to get me to Houston to isolate me. And that's where the stalking started. it went on. I started telling people that I was getting my house broken into, that I felt like I was being stalked. The police couldn't help me because I didn't have a face. So I couldn't get a warrant for them to look for anything or anything. They would take weird things. The obsession started to grow, and it started getting really bad, from jewelry to shoes to clothing to damaging my cars. And it just escalated when I came back to Bernie, which was about when I got back from Houston, about 2 years ago.
That Bernie is a city in Texas, for listeners.
Correct.
At that point, when these crimes started to occur, were you thinking, did I, you know, am I being targeted by somebody who's angry at me?
No, I just thought that I had someone obsessed with me. I couldn't understand why someone was following me. You know how your intuition kicks in and you be in the grocery store and you feel someone in the parking lot with you? And so you start going, when you leave, how you're supposed to, if you're looking to see if someone's following you, you do the four right turns, see if they're following you. So I would do that, and I would find cars following me, but it would be different cars. And I thought, okay, I'm being overreactive, I'm being paranoid, maybe it's not the case. But then things kept getting stolen. Things from photos, from jewelry to clothing. And at first I thought, okay, well, I've just misplaced it. I don't have time to look, because I worked very hard. I was working an average of 80 hours a week, 6 days a week. So I worked nonstop. So then I thought, okay, I'll look at it later. And then you kind of put it on the back burner. I would come home and things would be moved. And I go, maybe I just left it. Maybe I forgot how you do that little thing. Then it got worse, where I would walk up to my front door and I could actually smell someone's body odor, like they had been just standing there minutes before, whether it be cologne or a scent. Then I knew I actually had a stalker. So I started telling friends, I have a problem with a stalker. And they, you know, they listened, but they didn't really comprehend about it. And I didn't talk about it too much. Then I lost my job with Texas Direct Auto, and it was no fault of mine. I got laid off. And I took that very hard, because if I had done something wrong, if I had done a lousy job with my work, and they could have said, you know what, you're not good at this job, I could have figured out what I did wrong, accepted it, and healed and moved on. Not knowing that this was all part of the gang stalking plan to bring me down to where I would start losing everything. And they had their hand in that, and they've actually admitted it to me.
How is that admitted to you?
With the V2K, that my gang stalkers talk nonstop. As you know, the V2K, the point is to...
We're getting into the more technical end, and that is V2K is a reference to the technology known as voice to skull. Before we get into that realm, so now I know it was through that technology that they admitted it. Okay, getting back to you were let go from your job, and there was really no apparent reason why that happened. So it was very suspect. Okay.
Well, right. And the reason that I was given to is because the dealership was the largest internet dealership, auto dealership in the world. They got bought out from a foreign company called Vroom, V-R-O-O-M. So they downsized. They went from 500 employees down to 300. The whole reason I was at that dealership was to bring in gross. I was the highest gross maker of the sales teams. There was two sets. There was an internet team, and then there was what's called a floor team. I was the only female on the floor out of probably about 33 salespeople. And the point for me was to, instead of bringing in the numbers, was to bring up the most amount of money for, you know, in gross, and to bring up the surveys. The auto industry works on surveys, and of course you want gross to make money. Because I had been worked with so many high-end companies of cars, and I was so good at sales, that's why they brought me in. So they weren't as worried about numbers as they were the money for me. I was treated differently. When Vroom came in, they let go anybody. They looked at the people straight abroad and said, you know, the numbers, I did not have the numbers. All my managers fought tooth and nail for me to stay there. But downsizing was downsizing. They didn't have the clout or the power, because that's a company coming in and they just clean, you know, clean house, and then they bring all their people in. So I had a hard time with that. If I had done something wrong, I could have dealt with it, moved on. I got on unemployment. and things started to decline from there. My house started getting broken into more and more. My parents brought me home because they thought that I might do better here, and things started to decline a little bit. I went back to one of my former employers that I've worked for three times, had a very close relationship with them in Corpus Christi. This is where things started really getting bad. Corpus has a Navy base there. All these gang stalkers are around the military bases and based in San Antonio. And things started getting taken more and more every day. It started escalating.
We're tracing back where things started to escalate in terms of noticeable organized stalking efforts in Bel Air, Texas, in Houston, mm-hmm. Texas. This is where a lot of the crime, the breaking and entering, the following. Did you also notice that vehicles would circle your block?
Yes.
Did you ever have trouble with neighbors, people making problems for you, or anything weird like that?
No. All my neighbors were amazing. All my neighbors always take me in and make me their long-lost daughter or their granddaughter or their best friend or their babysitter. I was always on very good terms with my neighbors.
In your mind at this point, maybe you were not necessarily connecting dots to, a organized gang stalking.
But, not at all. I just thought I had a stalker that was breaking into my house and taking random things.
Which in itself is highly unusual to be casual about. Did you tell the police at all that that was happening?
I did. And they said they couldn't do anything until I actually saw this person's face. In person, they couldn't get a restraining order, so it was a catch-22. Then when I moved over to the Heights, that's when it started escalating.
Were you able to get surveillance footage or get any other evidence at any point regarding the break-ins?
No. I did find a key. There was like a little storage closet in the back of my house. And it doesn't lock. And one day I went in there. My mom had given me a bunch of amazing Christmas decorations. So I made that like my little storage room. It was in my own little backyard. No one, should be coming in there. It had its own little drive. My Christmas decorations were gone. And then I noticed that there was a key on the ground that actually opened my door. And that's when I was like, when was this done? So I called the people that leased the house to me, and I said, have y'all been to the house lately? And they go, no. And I said, has anybody accidentally left a key? And they were very nice, and they checked, and they go, no, we have all our keys. So someone had actually made a key and stuck it in there. So I took it, and then things just started escalating.
You mean in general as far as the harassment occurring?
Yes, but I didn't realize it was harassment as what we're going through. That's where the decline started, though.
Katie, give us the timeline here from the separation from your husband to finding the key here.
2014 to 2016.
Okay, so we've covered 2 years, and mm-hmm. so then things began to escalate. Take us through that process.
I started getting unusually tired for some reason. I started, when I would go out, my mother's interjecting, things just started declining as in I couldn't get work. I was getting more tired. Everything was not going my way all of a sudden. I started getting a little bit of financial problems. My banks started getting hacked. So I would change bank accounts.
Precisely what was going on in terms of the hacking? What was money hemorrhaging out of the account?
Yes.
Were you being
yes.
compensated? Would the bank own up to the security breaches?
No, not really. Not at that time. So I would change bank accounts to stop it. I'm with my bank now, and they're still fighting since November more than $1,800 that has been taken out. And I don't know if I'll ever see any of that money. And it's a nonstop thing. So we changed the bank account. We changed the bank cards. And they still hack the account nonstop. This group is so high tech. I don't know if we're ready to go into that. They can actually play with, if I go put gas in at Shell, like say I go to Shell and start putting gas in, they can actually play with the gas meter. That's how crazy this. They can get. They can hack into any system.
I think it's important for listeners to sort of be walked through the gradual
sure.
escalation and the timeline here. And we're talking about 2 years here, the interference with your bank accounts.
I started noticing weird things on my phone. So I knew, well, actually, I take it back. I knew something was going on with my phone in Bel Air. And I had started getting on online dating sites because I was single and, you know, I needed to learn how to date and start meeting men. And I met someone. I never actually met him in person, just chatted online with them. And then my phone would start acting weird. And I thought, okay, this person is hacking into my phone. So I started learning a little about stalker apps. And I knew I had what I thought was a stalker app on my phone. I would find weird things like documents that, files that would say, crybaby, or weird names, and then text messages wouldn't come through, or things would be moved as I'm sitting there typing, photos would start moving and being deleted where I could tell someone was on my phone at the same time I was. So then I would go change my phone immediately, and then it would stop. And I go, okay, I got rid of them. And then again, within a couple of days or so, my phone would be tapped. So since 2014, all my phones have been hacked. Which is a technical term, tapped. And I thought it was from someone that I met online.
Right, especially if you are a targeted person, then I would suspect that would be a really easy in for them to interact with you very directly.
Correct. And the thing is, I always felt like it was this person following me. And I always, when I started talking to him and some of the things he said, okay, I go, okay, this guy is very much on the dark side. He has all the characteristics of someone that could be overly possessive, a bit stalkish. And so I thought, okay, that would be logical. It would be this person. And that's when all the break-ins started and the phone started being tapped. You know how you're just aware that someone is in your vicinity? You can pick up on that. I like if I'm at the grocery store or if I was at a certain area, I would feel like, okay, there's someone in this store. So I'd look, you know, just gradually walk around to look to see if there was a familiar face. And the only time I saw familiar faces is when I used to go, listen, I'm very involved with music, or I used to be, and I listen to what's called as trans EDM music. And I used to go to a place called Stereo Live in Houston. And I always felt like the person that was bothering me and stalking me would go there just because they knew I'd go there. And I could always feel their presence. But I never actually walked up to them and saw them in person. I just felt it. Mm. And then I thought, okay, I may be paranoid, but I was just always on an alert that someone was there that shouldn't be there.
That particular characteristic is in the empath category.
And which is me. And I knew that. I've always been highly, highly attuned to my surroundings and feeling people's presence. And it was always the same feeling.
We've covered this topic a lot on the show, specifically with psychopathy and how psychopaths, for some reason, gravitate to highly empathic people because...
Yes.
They feed off of that energy and manipulate empaths.
Right. And it started in Bel Air, went through the Hydes, and it continued on to Bernie.
Okay. And when did it escalate into microwave or psychotronic attacks?
It started not this past Christmas. Christmas of, this is 2019. Christmas of 2017, right at Thanksgiving, but I didn't realize it then. My parents were told I was ill, and I came to stay with them, and they started seeing some weird actions from me, and that's where it started. The big debut of the show, of their daily, you know, murder drama, was the night before Mardi Gras, when they put me into which we know now is a common thing. They put you kind of like in a induced fake coma. And I was found on the side of the road.
What we're speaking about specifically are called remote electronic assaults, mm-hmm. and in using specific frequencies or other types of signals aimed at an individual that may induce a pre-designed effect, such as pain,
yeah.
Voices
yeah.
in the head,
yeah.
visual and audio hallucinations, burning to the skin, damage to internal organs, memory loss, and it goes on and on. Katie, was there anything that you specifically remembered that may have triggered that level of attack back in Thanksgiving?
I got very ill. I got very ill. I was in bed for over a week where I slept a lot.
But was there anything that you think you might have done that had prompted that level of attack? Was there a gradual escalation up to that point, or was there a lull in the stalking, and then all of a sudden it came in with the psychotronic weapons?
I think it's because I was talking to a guy online, and then I closed my email account out, and then things just changed dramatically from there. Things just went nuts, haywire.
So you were interacting with somebody, and then you mm-hmm. stopped interacting with them. And
right.
in addition, I guess one of the methods that you were communicating was through email, but you closed that account?
Yes.
Got it.
Because I knew something was off. I knew something was weird. I felt like when we would talk, there would be more than one person speaking to me. So I felt like someone was, like it was their work email. And I felt like, well, okay, if he's off that day, someone else is trying to talk to me, because there was a distinct difference in the tone of the email or the voice of the email. And so I would call them outright and say, who are you? You are not, you know, this person I'm speaking to. And they would go, what do you mean? And there are very distinct things. So once I realized that it was more than one person talking to me as this one person, then I closed the email account out, and then things just went chaotic.
So you started feeling very sick, but mm-hmm. it reached a turning point before Mardi Gras. This is an event that you're involved with in terms of a group that
right.
celebrates that event in
right.
New Orleans. So
yes.
So you lead a group of women, and it's quite a prominent thing. And
yes.
So tell listeners what had happened.
This is one of the most important things to me. I loved it. I lived for it. It was my birthday. It was my Christmas. It was my Thanksgiving. It was everything all at once, and it always came in February. And I looked forward to it. I lived for it. A group of women are the most amazing people ever. And to go through this process of watching it grow and how powerful this group came was very important to me, and I loved it. Whoever these people are, they made sure that I was not going to get there. And they've said that. My gang stalkers have told me that through the voice to skull, that I was never going to be allowed to go to Mardi Gras Grand because anything important to me has been taken away. The night that happened, some weird stuff happened. Whatever they do, as you know, I don't know the technical terms that you do, where they start making you feel a little weird, a little euphoric, a little high. That's when they started coming in with the voice to skull. But it wasn't actually inside my ear yet. They were still doing it from the outside, and they had me go through this trailer park and run through there. And they had pictures of like angels, like with the lights on the ground, and they had me running up and down and doing all these things to try to say, let's sober up or whatever. We've gotten you too high. And I go, I don't do drugs. It happened to be all recorded, too, and it was part of the setting of this game to make me look like I was not sane. And it was part of the setup for their little game when I went into the hospital in New Orleans. Not New Orleans, but in Louisiana. I distinctly remember the doctor.
At this point, were you aware that these operations actually existed?
No, I didn't know anything about it.
And so you were feeling, you're in this euphoric state. If you don't mind me asking, did you drink, or did you attribute
no.
that to anything?
No, I didn't. They had already started bothering me when I came to my parents' house weeks before that to get prepared for Mardi Gras. I stayed with my mom, and I was very, very ill. They had already started bombarding with the voice to skull, the psychotronics, the remote neuromonitoring on me, and it was too overwhelming, naturally, because I don't do drugs. I don't drink a lot. I'm very organic. I'm very clean and healthy. I work out. I don't eat a lot of junk food. I'm very careful what I ate and drank, and I was just being bombarded. Right now, you have to bear with me because I'm getting too much harassment, torture on me right now since I've been on the phone, and it's increased, so I apologize right now. It's going to be a little bit harder for me to think. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm in excruciating pain.
You might as well tell listeners exactly what are the voices coming in? Are they trying to beam that at you?
No, right now they're trying to interject what I say, so I'm fighting that. That's where the comes in. But what's happening right now, I have a ringing tone that goes through one ear. And it starts in my right ear and goes all the way directly through my left ear. It's not like ringing on both sides. My head right now is being cracked. The skin on the top of my skull is bubbling. The best way for someone to understand this is like an electrocution of being squeezed. They're pulling me. They're twisting me from the left to the right. Basically a really hard electrocuting shake is what happens right now. What it does is, and then they sting my brain at the same time. And they blink my eyes.
And what's important for listeners to know is usually there's not a lot of physical evidence from this. There's no real bleeding or damage that can be immediately assessed by a physician, I understand. So
the heartbreaking thing is they've attacked my face. They've attacked my teeth. They've attacked my eyes. They hold on to my eyes nonstop. They roll my eyes. I have a constant burning on my right side of my neck and through my ear. My parents think I'm nuts. They do not believe a word that I say. They think that I've just totally lost the plot. That's the most heartbreaking thing.
Yeah, that's one of the main problems here, as many realize, is that as the subject is bombarded by EMF, microwave attacks, and auditory transmission, it wears down a person physically, spiritually, and psychologically. And this is a problem when the victim is reaching out to get help. They'll often appear insane as they describe what they're experiencing in terms of attacks. This is why it's important for victims to aggregate their stories and join groups like PAX International that help victims.
Right. What's interesting, I sent a letter to PAX, and I don't think they ever got it. It would be interesting to find out if they actually did. And I know PAX knows of me now, which is amazing, but I think it was just luck because I didn't give up about it. But I wrote to them, signed. This group is so big that anything that goes through the United States Postal Service and FedEx, they can hack. They falsify any document. It will show that it got, like each town that it gets to, you know how you can track a package and make sure that it got signed for and got handed, delivered to the person it was supposed to. I actually have receipts showing that was there. It never got there. I'm not 100% on the PACs. I never saw it, but I sent evidence to NCIS in Quantico, Virginia. I actually have the evidence, and I actually have the receipt showing that it arrived when it never did. I've sent 7 things of evidence to people, and from saliva to personal garments, everything to say, listen, look at this photo, here's what's going on. And I didn't know exactly what that's when I was in the learning process of just figuring out, okay, it's called this term. What do they say? They say, get to the media, get to the police, get to other places. And then I found out, don't go to the police. So, and I thought, okay, this is military. NCIS will be able to at least go through and examine this stuff and see the poison, see the gases, see what's going on in my body with the perspiration, see what's happening with the saliva, see what's happening with nail clipping, see what's happening with my hair as it's being singed and it's being burned. They will figure out that this is not a normal thing, and they will figure out that this is the electronic harassment torture.
What are some of the voices that come through with the voice to skull technology. What are you hearing?
They're incredibly rude. The thing is, since they talk nonstop, and I have at least three voice to skull speakers on me, that you can actually, being an empath, you can actually hear them chattering amongst each other. They get sloppy. They've been doing this for a year and a half on me with electronic harassment, the electronic torture. And they get sloppy and they don't think that you can hear them. This is like a soap opera for them. We could talk once a week for 2 years straight and have a whole regular segment on what I've gone through. It is that, what I say, criminal mind sci-fi. Everything that I've gone through is shocking and alarming. And it's just this big spider web that's gone out of control. And this group thinks that they can just, in their eyes, that they can own the world. And they come in and they invade a city. The thing is, you have to bear with me, and you have to explain to these listeners that if your pain, if the normal pain threshold is 1 to 10, I'm at a 2,000 plus, 24/7. I'm being electrocuted nonstop. I'm being microwaved 24/7. My brain is actually boiling right now. So they have to bear with me when I'm trying to think. And my skull is cracking right now. My skull is actually cracking right now as we speak. And if I was quiet with your recorder, you probably could hear it cracking.
If somebody wants to give you support, is there a way to do it through email?
They can. I don't know if I'll necessarily get it. Like I said, they pick and choose everything for me.
Do you want to give out your email?
Yes. Yes, I'll give. And I haven't changed emails because I want them caught. And it's all lowercase. KAT21 P for Paul, IE, T for Tom, ER, S like sugar, E. So it's PIETERSE at gmail.com. Can you bear with me for 2 seconds so I can put my hat back on with all my little crazy Mylar in it? I don't know if you got any of the crackling. They might have cut it off on purpose, and they just went ballistic with the voice to skull and said, "We will not let this be heard." They're sitting here and yelling through me and say, "This will never be out. People will know how gruesome we are." And I'm like, "That's an understatement." One thing I want you to know about this, it's very important that you hear everything that went on with this event. Right now, we're very careful. We're very diplomatic. We're keeping it very quiet, what I've gone through, which is good. But people need to know this story of how dark, and that's their word, say, deviant, this drama is. Now the VTK, they're trying to control my mind. They want to speak through me without doing the V2K, so they're trying to make me say what they want said right now. So here we go. I'm going to let them say what we – here, Voice to Skull is coming out right now. Are you ready to record this? We want this girl dead. We want her to die. We are the demons of the nation. We are the heathens of the world, and we are proud to burn out of this girl. She will die the ugliest we have ever had. She was beautiful. She was rich. She was popular, and we were jealous.
That's being transmitted to you.
Through my right ear. And it comes through my lungs, and my lungs actually crack when they do that. So right now on the side of my skulls, like by my temples, my skull isn't even attached together.
Do you think some of these people are women?
You know, I've never had any problems with women. There is a woman. The only time I've ever had a jealousy factor was a woman named Callie when I started dating her ex-boyfriend. And I never experienced any woman being mean or cruel to me. And she was obsessive with me. She actually walked into work one day, and I didn't know what she looked like. And she came up to me, and she goes, "Hi, Katie." And I'm looking at her, and I'm trying to be polite. And I never forget a face. When you're in sales or you work with people, I'm terrible with names, but I never forget the person. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at her, and I'm trying to figure out who she is. And she just started going off in the store at me. And so I just, you know, politely turned around, and she says, "I'm Callie. I'm Brandon's girlfriend. Do you know you're tearing up our world?" And I'm like, "As far as I'm aware, y'all have been broken up. You left him. I came in after the fact." And I said, "But your problems, you know, y'all need to deal with. I'm happy to step back and let y'all sort it out." And I went to the ladies' room, and she followed me in there, and she just looked at me. And I looked at her, and I said, "This is not the place to fight. This is my job." And then I walked out of the ladies' room, and I went into where the technicians worked when I was working at a Toyota dealership, to where she could not walk through. And then she went and found Brandon, and they were sitting outside. He worked at a different side of the dealership. And they were just, she was just yelling and screaming at him in front of everybody at that dealership. And that's the first time I've ever experienced a really, really, really mean, mean, jealous woman. And come to find out, she was pretty cruel to him. So that's the only jealousy I've ever experienced out of a woman. So, yeah, she was mean. She would call me like 80 times a day.
That is a it's more tangential in a sense. It's not necessarily, I don't know for sure, but it doesn't seem directly related or connected to this these horrible operations.
Right. It could have been my gang stalkers making those fake calls then, because they were already involved and I didn't realize it then. They were already on the scene messing with me and messing with my life, and they were playing with the people in the dealership. These people go and they attack people all over the place. They think that they can run this whole world with whatever gas, and it's an, as they say, it's an addiction. That's the words they're saying right now to me, to control everything in my path, to destroy me. They, as they say, we pick here, they're talking right now, this is the voice of Skull. "We pick and preen this girl so that nobody likes her. We pick and preen this girl so that no one will love her. We pick and preen this girl because she deserves the world, and everybody loves this woman. Everybody gravitates to her because she's beautiful and she's kind and she's lovely. And we hate it because we're heathens of the world." That was them. And that's what they do. No matter where I go, they douse, they gas whoever. They can douse a whole entire stadium. I was at a hockey game in Illinois. They doused the whole, that's my word, they gassed the whole stadium. They have a way of getting people to go shopping. They mind control, okay, this is what they're saying. "We mind control," this is the voice to Skull speaking right now. "We mind control people to do whatever we want. We use a dousing technique that massages the brain so that we can talk through them without them realizing. We can make them hate, we can make them love, we can make them shop. We can make them do anything in the world that we want. That's how powerful our group is. We are the kings of the world."
This is consistent with the notes on several websites that go into detail to describe what this technology is capable of doing. And I suppose if the wrong people are wielding this technology and targeting good citizens of the world with this horrible technology, then, yeah, it's in the wrong hands. I appreciate you being on to discuss what you're going through. I would imagine you've learned quite a bit about this technology. Is there anything you want to add in?
Yes. Many people go through this crime, and they only get hit with one or two of these technologies. I'm a highly unusual case. According to them, I have 17 different technologies on me at all times. This is actually the worst hate crime of the world, as they've just now said. Someone's calling himself David. I don't think that's his real name. Okay, he says, "Yes, it is. It is. He wants to speak to you." Okay, "My name is David. I am the that owns this girl. I am the handler of this girl. She is we thought we could kill 7 months ago. We have tried to kill this 7 times, and she will not sit down. She will not stand back, and we hate her."
It's very childish in a way.
Yes. I call them two-year-olds, and the more that I stand up, the worse it is. They attack my face because I was pretty. I was popular. They want this to be their show now. They want to talk on the demon side. That's them forcing me to laugh like that. That's a fake laugh. Right now, I'm being electrocuted on my entire left side of my torso. They have rolled my right eye for days nonstop, cracking my skull. They are actually holding my arms up, pulling them so high up that it's stretching my rib cage. Oh, they have physically changed my body. They have stretched my rib cage. They have pushed me so hard that my spine is crooked. This is Voice to Skull again. Please let the listeners know. We attack this girl 24 hours with weaponry that is only allowed in war. We use psychological warfare on this girl 24/7. This is the same stuff that we use on buildings. This is the same stuff that we use on landmarks. This is the same stuff that we use to bring down a whole entire country. This little girl is standing when she should have been done in 20 seconds flat. No other woman, no other person on the planet has been able to take this on. And this little we can't kill now because she's telling the whole damn world what we do. And she does not swear. She is not a rude girl. I'm not going to say that word. Well, tell them it's an F-fest all the time. We get a by getting her harmed. Yeah. Now they just cracked the base of my skull, at the top of my neck, at the base of my head, when they did that. She will not be alive within the next 2 days, is what we have told her for a year and a half. Every day she does not buy this story, and every day she says this is not her path. And damn it, it's not her damn path. We thought we could take this little girl and kill her within 2 days. And look now, she's getting to the world and telling what we are.
This is difficult here because have you examined the blurred line here with demonic possession and this technology?
Well, they came in as demons when they first started on me, 17 demons. We are 17 demons. No, you're not. You're just a bunch of weak wimps. Back off. Okay. Sorry about that. I apologize.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean they came in as demons?
That was when they started talking to me, when I was so doused with the gases they were putting on me that I was, the technical term is called mind blown. They started talking to me and saying they were demons. And they said that I was in a circle of 17 demons and we were going to they were going to control every move of me from everything. And then that's when they started draining and sucking the life out of me and ruining my life. And if this story doesn't get out soon, I'm going to be homeless in about 3 days. I'm down to my last $3. I need help with transportation. They're making it where I'm in a city. You have to have a car. I have no home anymore. I'm relying on strangers to help me. That's their words, and they love it. They're getting strong. I gotta put this Mylar on for a second. Bear with me.
Okay.
I'm not gonna put the phone down. As soon as I move the phone from my ear, they disconnect. Okay, so go ahead. I'm sorry. We're gonna be jumping around, and I apologize on that.
It's okay.
Am I coming clearly, or is it too loud?
No, it's coming across clear.
And good. Okay.
What I want to ask you is, can you talk about the support that you've received already, support that has succeeded and support that may not have worked out?
Support as in my family and my friends?
Shelters?
Shelters.
PACs.
Well, the shelters, Mary Lamont, she's a godsend. That woman is an angel on this planet. Every person that listens to the show needs to know that name, needs to know that name. The person out, the next second person that I'm trying to name, they're blocking the name. He is moving mountains, and they're blocking the name. Hold on 2 seconds. I'm going to look it up for you. Because
Kevin? Kevin
yes.
Christian?
Yes.
Okay.
Not Kevin yet. He's like me. He's an empath. They call him my boyfriend, and that we're destined to be together, is what they're saying, because they thought they were going to take him down in 2 days, and he's still standing and making waves.
You're talking about Kevin Christian, who has a YouTube channel, and you could look up Kevin Christian on YouTube, and his channel is there.
Yes, targeted individual. And he's going to tell you about the video game side. So I'm telling you, I'm a hybrid, truly a hybrid. I've got all the traditional military warfare on me that only goes to war. When we go to war to Afghanistan, Iraq, all those places, when we go, as they say, we go and destroy a town and we slam it down the road to nothing. That's the same warfare that we have on this little child. Those are their words. That was Voice to Skull, but that's the truth. Then there's what's called is the EMF broadcast. It's an underground world of gamers that suck the energy of empaths. This is their verbiage. So it's not my, but it's so that listeners can understand. They want it to be known. It's a way to psychologically enhance our way of living because we do not have feelings the same as empaths. We are all psychopaths. This little girl has said since the age of two that she was the one that was supposed to save psychopaths. And I think I told you that. Back off for a minute.
You did.
That's the truth. And I have been surrounded by psychopaths since I was a child. And the ironic thing is, as many that have tried to destroy me and tear me up with my past life, there are three times more protecting me and putting me to success. Because they were amazed with me, and they loved being around me. And I learned at a very young age that there was something very different from it, and it wasn't their fault. They were born differently, and I knew that. And I've had this calling, as they're calling it, to figure that out. And now they're preventing it, and it's making, as they're saying, they're trying to get in the show. They do realize they made a mistake. Thank you. You need to say that to the... Is that a truth? Yes. Okay, they do realize that they've made a mistake. They do realize... They're saying right now that they need to step back and that this little girl can heal the world. They're saying that just to get notoriety, as they say. And then they'll turn around and they whack me even harder.
Well, listeners might remember that the book titled Political Ponderology, it's a study in psychopathy. And this was written back in the 1930s. The original manuscript was burned, so right. It was rewritten.
Oh.
It was rewritten. Anyway, the bottom line here is it went through a lot of interference, and it was just recently rewritten. And it's consistent with if you had a calling from a very young age to figure out the problems with psychopathy or people who are psychopaths, it certainly makes sense that you have experienced a lot of interference, and this might be connected to that.
Well, what's interesting, and they want me to bring this up because they say they were fascinated when I would just jabber and talk nonstop, not really realizing they were bad people. I could actually communicate with trees since the age of two. I could hear the trees, and they started watching me when I would come over to my parents' house. There's an empty house next door to them, and I would go lie down, and I would take all these photos of pictures of the trees, and I would sit there and know that I was safe amongst these trees, and I could actually hear them communicating with each other, and they were always fascinated. They want this shared. They were always fascinated how I could hear everything from the earth, that I talked to animals, could understand animals. Animals would talk to me. The entire planet talks to me. And now that they've come in, they've blocked that, and they hate that. My calling is to save this planet, but they keep hurting me because it's an addiction, and they will not stop because they want it for themselves. So it's, as they say, it's a catch-22.
Well, it's interesting because what you just described there...
What they said is they go, see how selfish we are? Oh, the man that I wanted to name, sorry, earlier that they were trying to block, Derek Robinson. I want his name to be known. He's a godsend.
Derek Robinson. Okay, thank you for mentioning that. But I just wanted to interject and mention that a past guest, Josephine Grace, who was also targeted and the victim of psychotronic weaponry, did explain to me that she had communicated with trees. She had communicated with animals and the soil.
Yes. They're right now that yes was them, but they're saying, yes, this little girl does that. That's why we were so fascinated with her. And we want this to be our show when it should be hers. But we want her to know that we understood that she talked to everything in the world. We would watch her go save a dragonfly. We would watch her go heal a frog. We would watch her go bring a flower back to life. And we were fascinated by this, how she could go touch it and talk to it, and it would instantly come alive. We did not understand the power of this girl, and that's why we got jealous when everybody in the world fell in love with this little girl, and she had no idea of her power. She would just go, hi, I'm here, I'm Katie, let's be friends, and be happy, and be free. That's the voice to scold, but at least they're telling the truth. I'm being electrocuted, and my brain is being fried. I'm probably, I feel like I'm at 5,000 degrees. My veins in the back of my legs are collapsing. My back of my neck is crackling. So I'm sorry that you hear me get angry. That's what they want. They feed on that. And they get me in such excruciating pain. This girl's pain, please. This little, they're going to talk real quick. This little girl has a pain threshold of 17 months who can't stand to let her go. Let me go. Show the world what you've done to me. Okay. So the only way she's going to get help is through y'all. Y'all need to help her. That's them. Y'all have to save her. Fact. Y'all have to get her the protective gear, or we will murder her within the next 2 days. Fact.
Katie, can you tell listeners what you need in terms of assistance? Is there anything that listeners can do to help you?
Yes. I need, there are certain things I know with, I know if, answer, buts. I don't understand all the weaponry. I know I have ADL on me. I know I have Sonic on me. I know I have Harp on me. I know I have Dew on me. I know I have, what's EAR? Ear, I guess that's where they're boiling my ear for a slow kill. I need the lead xenolite shield front and back. I need the arms and the gloves that have the lead on them and the leg protectors. I need from Less EMF, I need clothing to put under this. I need all the headgear protective, the little beanie, the baseball cap. I need the, this brand is actually for military. I found it last night. We're saying the truth. Everything she's saying she must have or she will die. Is that a truth? Psychopaths are selfish. My group is incredibly selfish. So the name of the company that has the clothing where, gosh, I did my readings today on my magnetic field. it was shocking. The name of the is LVFEIER. Anything protected from them is one of the best. Xenolite is the best for radiation protection for the shields.
I thank you again for doing this interview under the current circumstances and the pressure and suffering that you're under, but also on behalf of other targeted individuals experiencing this. I want to say thank you for bringing this information to the listeners.
Thank you for taking time with me. I hope if there's just five people that hear this interview and embrace this, y'all will change the world for the better.
We now hear key information from a past guest, Helena Chorba, who lives near Pittsburgh and describes nearly identical effects from psychotronic attacks. This context is meant to remind you that part of the goals of these operations is to isolate the victim of psychotronic attacks and have them appear insane to friends, family, and other potential support.
They pulse various parts of your body, and depending on how, where the nerve endings are situated, that elicits a certain response from your body. If they're pulsing my brain, bashing it up against the inside of my skull bone, first of all, it's brain bruising me and giving me concussions, well, maybe subconcussions, but some of them do feel like full-blown concussions. But it also causes me to pass out. Without killing me. They don't want murder on their FCC experimental license and waiver rap sheet, because the FCC does give experimental licenses and waivers for these devices. I don't know what point they are at. I think that these are not experimental on me. These people know exactly what they're doing to me. They just dial the power up and dial it back, and they point at a certain part of my body through my walls and shoot. They vibrate. So they just press their cursor onto the selected desire power and cycles per second vibration, I feel the results. This is used by the medical industry for radio frequency ablation, that's killing or necrosis of tissue. It is used for RF or radio frequency anesthesia, that's killing a nerve ending so that maybe your spinal cord is pinching it. It's just very disturbing. This was known as microwave sickness at one time, a long time ago, whenever the research started on this. The burning, the stinging, the involuntary extremity movement, the restless leg that keeps you awake all night, I don't have those problems. The phantom touch in between your legs, it's just horrendous. They pulse your lower intestine and cause involuntary defecation. The device can also point, let's say, at your intestines and make you feel nauseous or just projectile vomit, and you have no control over it. It can pulse me in my left groin and lock up my left hip joint, which is extremely painful. Then you can't get up off the couch or off the bed. Even if you're laying down and your hip there, you're in bed laying down, it's painful. It's excruciating.
Elena, can you tell listeners about the case United States versus Denson and why that's significant?
There is only one case that I know of that this microwave radio frequency through-wall surveillance sensor was used, and that is the United States versus Denson. That was in 2013, where Marshall Moss came to, along with his crew, came to Mr. Denson's house. He didn't show up for court and was on the lam, and they wanted to see how many people were in the house. So this device picks up breath rate, heart rate, and speech. The device that they used was a range R, and that has limited capabilities. It's not as capable as the STORMS device. They're the same technology, but it's limited to not more than 35 feet away from the building. That particular model of the range R had to be placed up against the wall of Mr. Denson's house. So they searched the house using radio frequency, and they found that there were two people in the house. They knew the weapons cache. They knew their location. They knew the layout of the building before they broke the door down.
That was Helena Chorba, a past guest, who is experiencing similar attacks to our guest. That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.